Summer of Code Round ab.
Hi, so my name is Robert Douglas, and thank you for all coming to the conference. I just wanted to take this short moment to thank the FrozCon people for organizing such a great conference. They're not here, but I wanted everybody to know how grateful I am that they let us have our own separate Drupal track, which is awesome. And I think it's also great that so many people are interested in Drupal. What I'm going to present to you today is one of the greatest success stories in open source software in the last decade, in my opinion. Not just Drupal's involvement, but the entire program that Google has created with the Summer of Code. So in 2005, Google did something really daring, something that no other business that I know of has ever done. They spent nearly $2 million on code, open source code, that they didn't even intend to use themselves. 400 college students around the world didn't have to look for summer jobs that summer. Instead, they spent their summers contributing open source code to projects like Nmap, Game, KDE, Apache, and also to Drupal. And I might add that they did so under the mentorship of experts from each of those projects, people who are considered to be the leading forerunners in their topics. Any Google Summer of Code mentors, please raise your hand. Alan, get your hand up. So in 2005, Drupal was assigned 11 students. And that was an enormous success for us. That was more students than many other projects that we at the time considered to be bigger than us. And it was a great sign of a great show of support for our project that so many people were interested in us. Just a point of clarification, Google allots the students that we get to work with based on a combination of demand and feeling on Google's part. Did we do a good job last year? Is our project interesting and active? And how many people applied? So it's a kind of a combination. First and foremost, how many people applied? And does Google trust us to do a good job? In 2005, that represented a $55,000 investment in Drupal. That's a lot of money. Not compared to their billions, but it's still a lot of money for a project like Drupal. Included in that was a $5,500 donation that went straight to the Drupal project. Ten students finished their projects that year. Of the 10 students who finished their projects in 2005, 7 of them were still coding and committing that code to Drupal in 2006. 4 are still committing code to Drupal to this day, so there's a really great stickiness to the project. We work with students, some of them who have never heard of Drupal before, and they get absorbed into the community and they feel empowered to keep on contributing, and they become professionals in their field using Drupal, and they keep on writing code. One student who had never even heard of Drupal before 2005 Summer of Code is now a Lullabod and one of our best people ever. In 2006, things were even better than in 2005. That year, we had 14 students receive sponsorship from Google, among them Constantine, who you've just enjoyed twice today. Anybody, any else from 2006 Summer of Code students? No. Okay, but we had a lot of great contributions that year. Also received a nice chunk of change from Google. Months after the program had ended, I looked at the CVS repositories And 11 of 14 students were still checking in new code, even though they'd been paid, thanked, and blessed along their way. In all, Google has invested $175,000 in Drupal over 3 years. Okay, that's probably not totally accurate because we've had 4 students out of 35 miss their final payment, so minus $8,000. That's still a lot of money, and the Drupal Association has recently purchased new server equipment using chunks of this money. Gerhard, did you cover that in your talk?
Yeah, we didn't order yet. There's some
problems. Okay, well, they're in the process of spending that money. They're trying very hard to spend that money. More important than the money are the 35 Drupal developers that had the chance to contribute, supported by Google. 2007 has turned out even better than the previous 2 years. With 20 students accepted into the project, and with the highest completion rate of the 3 years, and most likely the best code that we've seen, one could say that 2007 has been the fillet steak of Summer of Code. So, the tofu burger of Summer of Code. So, two of the projects that finished will be presented by, well, Gabor, this isn't quite correct, I know, but they'll be presented by people who are here. Gabor and Balázs, could you raise your hands? So, Gabor Hojci and Balázs Janiska are both 2007 Summer of Code students, and they'll be presenting. Balázs will be presenting his project tomorrow, and Gabor will be presenting a topic that's closely related to his project tomorrow. And I highly encourage everybody to go see that because they're very interesting. So that's Balázs. He's at 10 tomorrow. And Gabor is at 2 in the afternoon. So, in marathon style, here come the 19 successfully completed Summer of Code projects. First of all, Fuzzy Search by Blake Lucchesi. This was my student. I mentored him. It's a good thing he's smart, independent, ambitious, diligent, and organized. Otherwise, if it had been up to my help, he wouldn't have finished. But this is actually a nice story. I'll diverge right here. At the Sunnyvale conference at the beginning of the year, I gave a talk that talked about Drupal search capabilities. And my whole point was that the Drupal content management system has a beautiful search module that does wonderful indexing and great searching, but it needs a little work and a little help, and nobody knows anything about it. That was my whole point. And the message was, please, go study the search module, and let's help make it better. And Blake came up to me immediately after that and said, I'd been thinking about doing Summer of Code. You've inspired me. I'm going to work on search. Let's find a topic. And we sat down with Stephen Wittens, who wrote the search module in Drupal Core Now, and we brainstormed some things that Blake could do. And the result was the Fuzzy Search module, Search Index and Keyword Search module that is a drop-in replacement for core Drupal search. And when it's all finished and all the bugs and all the tweaks and all the improvements are in, it'll be a strong candidate for the core search module in Drupal 7, I believe. It uses ngram-based fuzzy search capabilities to find matching results. You get it, right? Huh? Don't worry, it's not that complicated. Look Ma No Hands produces the following ngrams. L-O-O, O-O-K, O-K space, K space M, Ma, and No Hands, and so forth. What that means is that if you misspell a word or if you get kind of close to the search term in the way you're typing it, it'll be found. So what I have here, this is from Blake's demo site. I've searched for Drupal, and then I've searched for Drupal without an A, and then I've searched for Drupal misspelled, D-R-U-P-U-L. And as you can see, with Pro Drupal Development showing up in all three, Drupal Search Enhancement showing up in the two, the results vary, but the system is smart enough to know that if you say D-R-U-P-L, you mean Drupal, and it finds things that are related to Drupal for you. If you try this in Core Search Module, no results. So, next project. The BitTorrent Module by Christopher P. Bradford. What you can do with this module is you can upload torrent files. I think there's functionality coming that will create torrent files for you. It might already be there. That's a detail that has to be checked. Once you've uploaded a torrent file, the system is smart enough to track the downloads and the seeds and the leeches, you know, everything that you do with Emule, BitTorrent. So this is from his site. Unfortunately, not many people are taking advantage of this. You can see from the cedars and the leechers that it's not yet challenging the Pirate Bay. It even handles web seeding for you to get those first copies of that file out there. So what that means for those of you who don't spend all day downloading high-definition movies, you need original copies of the file that you're BitTorrenting to exist. And if nobody, if it's the first one that wants to do the BitTorrent, then the server is the only one who has the full copy. And the server is smart enough at that point to give you the download so that the client that's doing the download then can become a seed and share that file with the other people in the BitTorrent cloud. So I don't really understand any of that. But it's really cool, and it'll help on Drupal.org infrastructure in the future after Gerhardt approves its use with things like movies, so screencasts, conference videos that have enormous bandwidth needs that would crush what we have available or just not be very pleasant for OSU OSL to host. So the BitTorrent module could help offload that bandwidth drain to BitTorrent clients around the world. Next project, Taxonomy Manager by Matthias Hutterer, who's from Austria. The Taxonomy Manager is a better interface for managing taxonomy terms and vocabularies. How many of you have a Drupal site with more than, say, 100 terms? 1,000 terms? Okay, how about 10 or 12 vocabularies? Okay. Is this a good idea? It's a much better interface. It's tree-based, so you can pop these things out and see the hierarchy. Gives you buttons and widgets for all of the operations. You can change the weighting of terms here. This is the form for creating a new term. It's Ajax-based, so you click Add up there, and the form appears. You press Save, and it gets saved. Oops. And this is another form for adding terms in bulk. It's a nicer interface. Next module, next project, the XMPP API by Maxim Kitrov. Pop quiz, what's XMPP and who uses it? Jabber. And who uses Jabber? Google, Gtalk, right. What can you do with it? Chat, what else? online status indicator. So you know in your IM, it always says who's online and who's not. That's much better than what a Drupal site can tell you about its users. The extensible messaging and presence protocol is an open XML-inspired protocol for near real-time extensible instant messaging and presence information, aka buddy lists. It is the core protocol of the Jabber instant messaging and the presence technology. The protocol is built to be extensible, and other features such as voice over IP and file transfer signaling have been added. Clearly, the value of having a Drupal API that supports this should be obvious if somehow Drupal can partake in peer-to-peer file transfers and voice over IP. What could you do with something like that? So what's implemented now are notifications of events that happen on the Drupal site getting sent to your IM client, such as when new content has been published. The other two I don't think are implemented yet, but since the framework is there, they should come. Here's what notifications look like. If somebody enters a new comment on a post that you've subscribed to, and this is your IM client somewhere in the world, you'll get a near real-time notification that that has happened. I'm not quite sure whether you can reply to the comment here. I didn't have enough time to check, but that would be kind of cool. It's a nice way to make your site stickier for end users, urge them to come back and take part in a more real-time-like conversation instead of a very asynchronous conversation, which is what current posts and comments represent. So, next project. Not to play favorites here, but I like this one a lot. This one's called the Drupal Automated Staging Toolkit by Alistair Bahari. I like it a lot because he's going to save me hours and hours and hours of work starting next week. The goals of the DAST project include to provide an easy, fast, and automated way for a tester to create a complete Drupal site code tree running a specific version of core and contrib module code with sample content and users populated in the database. Automated. Also, to provide an easy, fast, and automated way for a tester to generate a configuration for hosting a Drupal site defined by your choice of web server, Apache, Lighty. The web server configuration, whether ModPHP or FastCGI is used, turn on PHP reverse proxy caching. Your choice of database, MySQL, Postgres, Oracle. Configuration of the database, which storage engines to use, My, ISAM, or NODB, and so on. Anything that you want to configure on the server level concerning your Drupal application should be a target for this toolkit. Also, to provide a complete automatic way to stage the generated Drupal site and LAMP stack configuration to a physical server location. This is very interesting for people who have test sites, devel sites, quality assurance sites that then have to get promoted to a live site. And that includes every client that I've worked with in the last 3 years. And how do we do this now? We turn the site off, move data, write complicated scripts. It's painful. It's terrifying. It often breaks at the last moment, and we have to delay the project another week. Hopefully this will help. That's not all. The goal of this project is to provide a completely automatic way to generate a virtual machine image containing a minimal Linux environment the LAMP stack configured and provisioned as in step two, so you could combine these two features. You could first build and configure your site, then you could burn an ISO image of that, which then can be net booted onto a Linux box or uploaded to Amazon EC2 as a provisioned instant server. The Drupal site configured is in one. It also pays the bills, washes the laundry, cooks dinner, and walks the dog. It's based on Thing, which works like Ant. Any questions? Now, both of those are like Make. Only better, so they say. As a proof of concept demo, Alistair provided me with a Dast install configured to help me develop Memcache, which I'll be talking about tomorrow. And developing and testing the Memcache module is time and labor intensive, setting it up every time. It installs Drupal, makes the database, installs the Memcache module, configures it, and patches Drupal core. When I do that by hand, it takes me 20 minutes. That's how he's going to save me time, among other ways. Next project. Scalability and Load Testing by Scott Hadfield. This is a framework for running and building load tests on a Drupal site. So anybody with their ear to the ground in the last year and a half, or anybody who's visited Drupal.org any time today even, knows that Drupal performance is a hot issue. We want it to go faster. We want it to be zippy. We want it to be lightweight. We want your server to be able to handle dig, Reddit, Slashdot, and the front page of Frozcon site all at once and get all that traffic and not crash. What you can do with this is you can define, this is a module that lives in your Drupal site. And you configure Drupal to the point where you want to know something about your configuration. Say you've just turned the aggregator module on and you want to know something about how that will impact performance on your site. So you use this module to save the state of the site, the configuration, the parameters, all the included modules, everything before. Then you turn aggregator on and you save it again after, and then you do load testing on both of those states and you compare the results. And then you can say, changes the performance of my site by X. And this is what he's doing. He's defined two states, one with cache turned on and one with cache turned off. So Drupal caching is also an interesting topic. Come tomorrow at, what is it, 11 in the morning, 12 maybe, when I'll be talking about Drupal caching. And he's showing here how you can test the performance difference between having caching turned on and caching turned off. And these are the states that you just saw in the drop-down. So you can see in these states what the enabled modules are. And then you'd run load testing. And there are also hooks for testing suites like AB so that they can send messages to the module to tell it what to do. And here you see that he's run the request pages test, and that it took 5 seconds to complete. And you can see other results here where it took 3 seconds to complete. And somehow, if you had set that all up yourself, you would know what that means. It means the top one's slower and the bottom's one, top one's slower than the bottom one, somehow. But I find this very interesting because for the first time, without turning to external tools, you can quantify precisely what the effect is on your site of any change that you make. Very useful. Next project, public-private file handling by Kyle Cunningham. In Drupal 5, one must choose. Shall file downloads be public, where they're handled directly by the web server? Or shall they be private, in which case they're handled by PHP. They're read by PHP and piped, and this is much slower. With public files, no access checks can be made. Anybody can download them. So if you're selling a file, or if you want to restrict access to certain files to people who have registered or have enough user points or have a certain permission or a user role, impossible with public file downloads. Only possible with private files, because with private files, Drupal access rights can be applied to the files as well. Public files perform well, private files don't. As James Walker said, if you want to know what the definition of slow is, build an image gallery with private files and watch it load. Thus, for many sites, it's a painful decision between functionality and performance. And that's a decision that you have to make up front when you install and configure your Drupal site. It's all or nothing. One size fits all. And you can't change it later. Not easily. Welcome to the public-private file patch, reviewers and testers needed. Every time you upload a file, public or private. Next project. This is an interesting project because this is a project that's designed to be used on Drupal.org starting as soon as possible. How good is that module that you're about to download? Gerhard, how many modules do you have? Do we have? Do you know? 1,400? It's about 1,400 is the last time. Projects. So, yeah, over 1,000 in any case. Yeah. How does anybody know how good any of them are? Even if you listen to the Lullabot podcast, we can't talk about 1,400 projects. Welcome to Project Metrics. The Project Metrics provides a framework for collecting statistics about Drupal projects. This can be any type of statistic. This could be reviews. This could be how many issues are open in the issue queue, how many bugs have been closed, when was the last CVS commit. This is what's been implemented so far, and this is some download tracking. So that's the simplest, how many downloads have been made. And as you can see, Drupal, of course, is the most popular download. And I think this is only possible with the update status module. That's why this is ranking next. That's true, right?
Well, I don't know about the project usage, but about the download stuff, I don't know. But the general usage stuff is, of course, only possible if you have that module.
Okay, so the real list starts down here. Views and Contents Construction Kit, CCK, are the first two, then Image, Path Auto. Everybody's favorite modules. There was an interesting quote by Merlin Mann on Twitter the other day. He said, "You have been deprecated. Everything that you used to be able to do can now be done with CCK and views." So this project will be very interesting for us in the future because now we'll be able to build many different ways of measuring the quality of Drupal projects, be it themes, modules, translations, etc. And now you will know how good that module is before you download it. Here are the same statistics for Drupal versions. Next project. The Feed API by Aaron Novak. Aaron is a 2-year Summer of Code student. He participated in 2006 and 2007. Feeds, RSS, Atom, are an important method of sharing data, period. Not only do people subscribe to them and therefore come to your website more often, but there are also ways of automating complete data import, export, web services using feeds. Drupal comes with an aggregator module that lets your site subscribe to feeds and display them. An interesting example of this is Planet Drupal, where you can always stay up to date with the latest Drupal service, Drupal news. If you're not familiar with it, highly recommended. But aggregator has its limits. The feeds that get imported, they go away after 2 weeks, and you can't really do anything with them. You can classify them or tag them, but only in the confines of the aggregator module itself. You can't share tags with your articles, your blogs, or anything like that. Many people want to have feeds and feed items be nodes. Why? So the feed items can have comments, as all nodes can have comments. So the feed items can get categorized with the taxonomy module. So the feed items can appear in views with the views module, or so that you can add extra fields to feed items with CCK, and so forth. Furthermore, all of these feeds are in XML formats, and there are lots of different formats, and there are lots of different bugs with the formats, and there are lots of different bugs with the implementations of these formats from other sites. So you're always depending on other WordPress and Joomla and Google and whatnot sites to produce the feed, and there's no guarantee that they're going to produce a feed that's easy to parse or that's correct or anything like that. Yet you want to be able to ingest it all the same and have success with that. And this is a lot of work. It's better to let a dedicated project handle parsing feeds, a project like SimplePy that does nothing but parse feeds. So the Feed API project abstracts the way that Drupal handles feeds in general. It allows feeds and feed items to be nodes. It utilizes the SimplePy framework for parsing. Next project, halfway through. Community Managed Taxonomy by Benjamin Melanson. Tags or vocabulary terms, they're great. Everybody wants them. Every site we do has some sort of tagging or categorization. That's one of Drupal's best features. So how do we tag things these days? We're at a conference, right? Let's use FrozCon. See? Somebody, some weird guy, is already taking pictures, uploading them to Flickr, tagging them with FrozCon. Let's be more specific, people. FrozCon 2007. Somebody else is doing just that. It's SEO. You're supposed to use dashes. And somebody else is uploading to Flickr using FrozCon minus 2007. Don't they mean the same thing? Different people will use different tags even when they mean the same thing. The goal of the Community Managed Taxonomy project is to let the community get organized. Valid tags can be sorted from invalid tags. How the tag is described and what its weight is can also be voted on by the community. And this is kind of a clunky interface at the moment, and weird tags. The tags are woo, ngv, and the artist formerly known as Squiggly Line. And the button is also interesting, but it says endorse term at this location. And basically what it's asking is FrozCon minus 2007 the right term to be using in this context? And you can click that to send the message to the system to say, yes, this is an appropriate tag, appropriate tag for the context. It also lets you make tag hierarchies on the fly using its own syntax of the greater than sign to separate the different tags. These are some screenshots from the administrative section. Well, a screenshot. Okay, next project. This project was a little hard for me to research because the student didn't provide a demo site that worked properly. However, I can say that I'm a hopeful fan of the case tracker module, which aims to be a ticketing system. It keeps getting better. It's not quite Basecamp, but we hope that it gets there. The student set out to extend it and to add some features to it. And I'm a little short on the information about this due to my own time constraints and the fact that his demo site didn't work. So I leave that as a research project to you, the X case tracker. The eBay integration module by Jacob Pertz was also a bit of a mystery to me because of no demo site and I ran out of time. But it integrates with the e-commerce module so that I suppose you can track things that you're selling on eBay within e-commerce. But I'm not going to tell you too much about it because I wasn't able to find out a lot about it in the time that I had. Likewise, this student has set out, Jacob Petsovitz has set out to abstract the way that Drupal interacts with version management systems, CVS, SVN, and so forth. I think his main goal, his main practical goal, is to provide a framework that will then be flexible enough to let us say in the future switch from CVS to Git or Bazaar or SVN, as it were. I think he has SVN in mind. I think he was working on an SVN implementation because he wants to develop Drupal with SVN. And I actually find that an attractive proposition since Lullabot always puts all of its clients on SVN repositories anyway. It would be really nice to be able to track that type of stuff from Drupal itself.
That's the reason why I especially don't bother with this. Because I'm putting my clients into SVN as well.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, but maybe Drupal.org can stay on CVS, and we could use this module for our own repositories to track commits and stuff. What Gerhard was just alluding to is the wonderful way in which CVS and SVN work together. If you check out Drupal from CVS onto your local repository and then check it into SVN on some other repository, then all of the tracking files that CVS writes also go into SVN, and they get versioned as well, so that you can first do a CVS update and then an SVN commit. And there's no conflict anywhere along the way. And if you didn't understand any of that, forget it. Don't worry. So sorry for the paucity of information on that. Eric's here, right? I'm going to call on you to talk a little bit about this in a second. This is the SMS framework by Will White. And Eric Gunderson, who's in the back of the room, was very supportive of this project. His company, Development Seed, uses it and provided a development space and resources for Will. Correct, right? Would you like to send SMS messages or content from your site to mobile phones? Maybe. The SMS framework can send text messages via gateways, which are free and provided by SMS carrier phone carriers. They allow you to send a limited number of messages at a time for free to people who are in their network, as well as in bulk batches. These can be paid services where you, I don't know how that works exactly, I've never done it myself, but you can pay the carriers or a service who then pays the carriers to allow you to send millions and bajillions of SMSs to everybody all the time. And this module can do it all. It also comes with a filter And as you know, Drupal filters look at text that you type into the Drupal site. Anytime you create content, filters get applied to it. This module provides a filter that looks for this construct, SMS, text here, SMS. When it finds such a thing, it builds a link or an icon around that text. When you click on that, you're presented with a screen that allows you to send that via SMS to a specific person. So there are excellent screencasts and screenshots of this module in use online here, which is Development Seed, who is a sponsor of FrozCon. Thank you, Eric. But the URL was so long that I couldn't paste it into Keynote, so it's it's at tinyurl.com. Okay, well, Development Seed. You got to read the whole site to find it. Eric, is there anything you'd like to add to that about what it does or how you're using it?
After, if anybody wants to talk about this, what we really need is the biggest problem is we'll set out to do in real API, so this can just grow modules can just plug into it in the future. The reality is that doesn't work so well because so many of the SMS providers actually have APIs already. So if you actually look at the field, it looks much one-off module approach is actually going to generate better service for actual campaigns based on the SMS industry, or well, I mean, where that's going, especially stateside. So if anybody's running SMS campaigns wants to talk about this, I'd be more than happy. But at least in the good news is the email, while SMS email has serious limitations when you do it on a big scale, and you will get shut down, this is really going to be kind of fun for little sites, and that can really go a long way. So
that's a cool one. Next project, this is a theme. This year we took on two themers to create new Drupal themes for Drupal 6. I have to pop out a Keynote to show you this one because it's more interesting if I can show you the demo site. Okay. So this one's called Light Fantastic. I found that the colors on the projectors don't do it justice. And I think you're missing some of the borders here. Okay, so this is the front page. This shows the mission statement, probably. Shows three columns. Mouse over behavior. Footer. How do you mean? Well, from the aesthetic point of view, it's up for debate, and I haven't personally done an analysis of the XHTML underlying it, but one of the students' goals was to produce high-quality markup so that it always validates and meets all accessibility requirements. How well he did on that, I can't personally tell you because I'm not very much of an expert in that field, and I wasn't his mentor as well. So the other core theme... Looks like I accidentally closed it. The other core theme was by Klaus von Weisberg, and he created the Deco theme. And these are brown tones that actually look more, a little better on a computer screen compared to a projector. has nice details like this. And you can't, the projector doesn't do it justice. You can't see any of the textures that he has or the subtlety of the colors or how well the colors mesh.
Yes, nice.
Yeah. Right. Reserve your judgment until you see him in person. The post that I just navigated from is on the front page of Drupal.org at the very top. So if you navigate to Drupal.org, you can see the results and the demo sites for all of these projects. But anyway, we've got two new themes for Drupal 6, and it's not even released. I'd say that's pretty good. Okay, so now we come briefly to the drawing API that Balazs has created for us. He'll say a lot more about it tomorrow. This has to do with cool things, graphics, charts, and it's done in SVG. And we were just talking about this, and when was it, 2002, on the O'Reilly site, they say SVG is the future. The future is now, 2002. Fortunately, things have come along a little ways, and this module will let you do stuff like this. Programmatically, anybody who can program an array will be able to program this chart. More complex, this is also generated from a data array. What you can't see here is that he's also assigned a mouse over state for this, so that if I put my mouse over here, it highlights the root. You may or may not know that SVG is an XML-based vector graphics format that also supports JavaScript event model. So clicks, drags, drops, mouse overs, all of that, any of the events that you can handle in JavaScript can be applied to this. So you can do cool things like build Google Maps. And anybody who can build a Drupal data array is ostensibly able to do stuff like this using the drawing API. Hopefully, sometime we'll get some actual end-user tools, too, to create graphics. Other things that you could do with this are a neat progress bar, or the polls, anything that needs to be represented graphically, or watchdog statistics. Anything like that is a good target for graphical representation and can make use of the drawing API. Right, so straight from any tool like Illustrator or Inkscape that can produce SVG, straight to your Drupal site. Not bad. Next project is the localization server by Gabor. He calls it one-stop shopping for translations. How many of you run a site in a language other than English? How many of you have big smiles on your faces right now? This is going to save you a lot of work. It used to be that you had to go and hope that a module maintainer had produced a translation. If not, you had to do it in the interface, and you weren't sure if anybody else had done a translation of your module. And if your translation was somewhat better than their translation, then you had to coordinate, and it's a mess. I mean, it's better than nothing, right? But it's a mess. You're going to have to go here for the bulk of the details. Once again, I didn't manage to get the full URL, but it's still on the front page or maybe the second page of groups.drupal.org. Gabor, what's the group that you posted this to? Okay, so there's a translations group on groups.drupal.org where you can read his full explanation of this. And by the way, Gabor has written so much documentation and material about translations and internationalization and localization, including his master's thesis, which you can find on his blog. You can become a world-class expert on the topic just by reading what he's written. Here's what it looks like. So here you see the different languages and the status of the translation, the total strings that have been translated and how many are left or how many that is. Gabor, what's suggested?
It depends on what permission model the project uses. If they are not allowing everyone to directly contribute to the translations, they can go through a moderator or someone who approves translations.
So this builds on organic groups module, right? And as such, you can configure it to do different things and allow different people to participate at different levels. So clearly, this is targeted for Drupal.org infrastructure. Any estimation on when we'll?
I hope so that we will have this in time for the Drupal 6.
Okay, so approximately for Drupal 6. However, it's also a Drupal module that you can download and use yourself. Does this use the protocol that you mentioned many times? What protocol is that?
No, it's not based on.
Okay, it doesn't based on that. Do you see any other uses for this outside of Drupal development?
It definitely can be used for your own purpose if you want, like if you have several in-house modules in your company, then you can use it for that as well.
Okay, but it's kind of really Drupal oriented. Okay. That's fine, we need it. Okay, last project on the list, the Universal Link Filter by Garthi Ban Ganeshapillai. Sorry. Sorry, I can't say that, Garth. I'm waving to the camera in case he watches the video later. So when you're composing anything textual in Drupal, when you're writing a blog post or a story, anything like that, one of the typical things that people want to do is link to something else somewhere else on the web or on the site. And the way it is now drives him nuts. It drives me nuts too. Either you type in the HTML or you use a what you see is what you get editor and have to deal with its nastiness with the slow pop-up windows and tiny little options and yuck. Or you have to use Markdown or BB code or something like that and learn a new syntax. So basically, there's no easy way to make links in your text. And by easy, I mean like idiot-proof, like something that takes me only a second instead of half a minute to complete. This is the problem he's trying to solve by providing another API for filtering these links. And the nice thing about what he's done is that he doesn't necessarily decide what the behavior of the filter is. He only provides, he at first provides the syntax for finding things that should be links, and then provides a framework for modules to say what happens with the stuff that you're building a link to. So, for example, you could build a link that always links to a Wikipedia article, or always links to a Flickr photo, or always links to something in your site based on rules that your module defines. And it can use the same unified syntax so that no matter what modules implement these linking abilities, you only have to teach your end users one way to do it. And he uses Ajax. It also has a knowledge of the targets that are available, so that you can use autocomplete to find the target that you're linking to, so that you don't have to do the two windows open, copy the URL over here, and paste it in over there trick. And you can see a demo of it there. These will be online later, so you can grab the URL, or you can go to Drupal.org and get the link there. And that's the end of the presentation. Any questions about Summer of Code or any of these projects? It was kind of a whirlwind. How much time do we have? None. Any questions? Then, thank you very much.
If you've got a website, you need a system to manage your content, Drupal. If you want to build a web application, you've got to download Drupal. Drupal, 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 Drupal. If you've got a website, you need a system to manage your content, Drupal. If you want to build a web application, you've got to download Drupal. Drupal, 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 Drupal. Drupal, 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 Drupal. Drupal, 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 Drupal.